Okay, what I want to speak about tonight, at least for the beginning of the shir, I don't think it's going to take us the whole shir, and then we'll decide what to do after that, is the concept that it is proper to pray for other people, and what the benefit of it is, and what the idea behind it is. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Tzadik Beis, says the following. Omer le Rava le Rava Bar Mori. Rava said to Rava Bar Mori, Meno ha milsa de Omer Rabbonan, from where did the rabbis learn that if someone needs something and someone else needs something and one prays for the other person, that he's answered first? Says it's a sentence in a Sefer Iyov that God returned what he took from Iyov because he prayed for his neighbor. So you see that Iyov benefited because he prayed for other people. Omer le at omras mihasam, you learn it from there. Va'ano amina mihacha, I learn it from a different place. In this week's Sedra. Va'yispalol Avram elho Elokim. Va'yirpo Elokim es Avimelech, right, that Avram prayed to the Rabbanu Shel Olam that Avimelech and his wife should be healed. Right, they weren't able to have children after Avimelech took Sarah, they were punished. And the God closed up their ability to have children. And right after that, it says that Avram prayed for Avimelech and his family, and God healed them. And then it says, Vashem poka de Sarah kasher omar. And then Sarah conceived, as God said, kasher omar Avram al Avimelech. What's the kasher omar? Not like God said, but as Avram said to God concerning Avimelech, he was answered first and Sarah conceived. Okay, so from here we learn that if a person davens for someone else and he needs the same thing, that he's answered first. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, describes how Avram davened for Avimelech. Omad Avram, v'hoyim ispal lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram stood up and he prayed for Avimelech when God struck him with his sickness and he wasn't able to have children. So he said, "Va'amar ribon ha'olamim, adam barasa lepruervu." You basically created the world that people should fill the world and propagate the world. Va'avimelech ubeso yifru v'yirbu. Now, shouldn't Avimelech and his family also be able to be fruitful and multiply? V'nen alo, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him. V'nen alo, and God answered him positively and healed Avimelech. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabba says the following. Omar Rav Chama Bar Chanina, Mitchilas HaSefer V'ad Ka'an Lo Nemra B'Loshen Hazeh. From the beginning of Bereishis till here, we don't have something similar to this sentence. And Rashi says, what does that mean? Lo Nemar B'Loshen Hazeh She'od Mispar L'Achir. We don't find anywhere in Bereishis till this point that people daven for other people. It's the first time in the book of Bereishis that we find someone daven for someone else. In the Tosefta in Bava Kamma, it says, Hachovel b'chaveiro, somebody damages somebody else, hits him, and wounds him. So the halacha is that he has to pay him for the damage, and he also has to beg him for forgiveness for hitting him, for wounding him. However, it says, Afal pi shelo bikesh hachovel min hanech. Well, so now, the one who's really bad off is not the one who was wounded, but the one who did the wounding. He's going to be punished, right? And he has to ask forgiveness. And he is now in a very vulnerable position. So even if the one who did the wounding doesn't ask the victim to pray for him, and he should have mercy, and should be forgiven, and shouldn't be punished, right? Still, he should pray for him, okay? The victim should pray for the one who wounded him, that he should be forgiven, shenemar vayispal Avram, right? Because that's exactly what happened to Avram Avinu. Avimelech took his wife wrongly. Okay, Avram was the victim, and Avimelech was the perpetrator. And now Avimelech is in bad straits because God is going to punish him for what he perpetrated. And Avram davens for Avimelech that God should have mercy on him. So we see from here that the victim should daven for the perpetrator, right, even if he doesn't ask him to. Avimelech didn't ask Avram to daven for him. The Eben Uksiv, another source for this. The Nosan Lecho Rachamim V'Richanecho V'Hirbecha. It says God will give you mercy and have mercy on you and increase you. Zeh Simin Yebiyodcha. Kozman Sha'ato Rachamon HaRachamon Merachim Alecho. What it means is God will give you mercy. When you are merciful, God will give mercy to you. Mida Keneged Mida. You're merciful on other people, you care about other people, you daven for other people, the Rabbanu Shalom will have mercy on you and answer your prayers. Okay? Besides, therefore, the benefit that one gets by praying for other people, there's also a mandate to do it. You have responsibility to do it. It's not just that if you want to get the benefit, daven for other people. There is a reason why you have to daven for other people, and that we'll see. The Sefer Hasidim says the following. Kishain Adam Mala Libo, Lispal al Soros Chavero, when a person doesn't consider davening for other people's tzaris, that other people should be relieved of their tzaris, ye talking she onish. Shelo yenena bitfilaso. It's possible, says the Sefer Hasidim, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, that the person will be punished and his prayers will not be answered because he doesn't pray for other people. Why? If he should have thought the following way. If I would have had this tzara, I would be sick. If I would be poor, and I needed a Yeshua, I definitely would daven for myself. Right? You have to treat other people as you would want them to treat you, or as you would treat yourself. If you would daven for yourself when you have a tzara, then you should daven for other people when they have tzaras. And the Reishis Chachma says that openly, that one of the ways of fulfilling the mitzvah of Yohavta L'Reacha Kamocha is by davening for other people. I should want for other people what I want for myself. And if I want for myself to daven when I have tzaras, I should want to daven for other people when they have tzaras. V'chein, kol ha-tfilos, v'ha-tchinos, tiknu lomer b'loshin rabin, rifo'enu, borich oleinu. And therefore the rabbis instituted that when we daven, for the most part, we daven in the plural. We don't daven for ourselves, we daven for everybody. The person who has mercy on others will be, well, the God will have mercy on him. A person who doesn't feel for other people is no different than an animal. That one animal doesn't care about the pain of another animal. So a human being cares about other people. For all of Namar, Umosar Ha'adam and Abehema Ayin, a person who doesn't care about other people enough to daven for them, right, he's no better than an animal. Reb Chaim Vital in the Pri Eitz Chaim therefore says that before a person davens, every day he should accept upon himself the mitzvah of Yohavta Re'acha Kamocha. One of the reasons is because he should be aware that when he davens, he's not just davening for himself. But whatever he wants for himself, he should include his neighbor and neighbors and Klal Yisrael in that also. Okay. And the Gemara, Svarim bring a proof from the Gemara in Tainis. The Gemara says over there that they used to pray for people who were traveling by sea, or people who were traveling through deserts, right? And also that children shouldn't get children's diseases, and women shouldn't miscarry, right? And if you look after Tehillim, there's a Yiratzon to say. In there it has all these tilos for all these kinds of people that I don't even know. I don't know of anybody, you know, who specifically has these problems. But still, I daven generically that anyone who has these problems should be saved from them. Abaya in the Gemara in Brachos, Daflamed Omer Aleph, says that whenever a person davens, he should include the entire tzibur in his davening, and not just daven for himself. And the Chafetz Chaim in Avas Chesed says that davening for someone else fulfills the mitzvah of Gemilus Chasodim. You can do Gemilus Chesed with your body, with your money, with your speech. You can help people out by giving them encouragement. That's also Gemilus Chasodim. And you could also be mekayim gemilas chasodim with davening. By davening for somebody else, you are mekayim gemilas chasodim with speech. And I want to extend it even more. Because davening is not just with your mouth. You have to have kavana too. So it's gemilas chasodim with your mind too. With your thought. It's thought and speech. And we find many times that speech that has a result that leads to action is considered like action. So prayer is answered, and there are concrete results to it. So therefore, if you daven for somebody, you fulfill gemilas chasodim with thought, speech, and action all together. The Rabbeinu Bachya, in his preface to Seder Korach, says the following. There's a pasuk in Mishle that says, Shocher tov yivakesh ratzon. Person, shocher tov. Shocher, he says, is lashon of tefillah. That is a euphemism for davening. So he says, a person who davens for the welfare of someone else, he is yivakesh ratzon. He will get will or favor from God. Okay? And he explains it the following way. He says that he's basically doing what God wants. God wants people to benefit in this world. He wants to benefit people. He created the world to do good to people. He wants us to benefit. So someone who davens for someone else's welfare is basically fulfilling God's will. And the Mesillas Yesharim says that a person who is a leader and he has the power to pray for everybody and his prayers are answered, okay, has to pray for his entire generation. People who have powerful prayers have a responsibility to pray for their entire generation. And if he doesn't, he is what's it called punished. Where do we learn that from? The Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, it says, why was he punished? That when somebody kills unintentionally, right, negligent homicide, that he has to go to the Ari Niklat, and he has to stay there till the Kohen Gadol dies. Which means a lot of people in the world just waiting for the Kohen Gadol to die. Right? And he says that the mothers of the Kohen and Gedolim used to send presents, food packages, to the people in Ari Niklat. They shouldn't daven that their son should die. It always bothered me. Every Kohen Gadol had to be married. It's halacha, because on Yom Kippur he had to have a wife. So every Kohen Gadol had a wife. Why did the wife send packages? Why the mother? You see, if there's something different about the wife and the mother, okay? That the mother, no matter what, will protect her son. The wife, not so sure. So the Kohen Gadol couldn't depend on his wife, had to depend on his mother. In any case, also you see from here how fickle people are. Here the guy is stranded in Ari Niklat. He wants to get out of there. The only way to get out is the Kohen Gadol dies. But since the mother of the Kohen Gadol sends him some food packages, that already, right, makes him not daven that he should get out of Ari Niklat. The idea is once he has that shochad, he has that, bribery, right? Once he has his bribery, he has a nice food to eat, so his tefillahs can't be that 100% L'shem Shemayim anymore, right? In the back of his mind, he says, no, maybe I'll get another food package or whatever, so his tefillahs aren't going to be that effective that they're going to end up killing the Kohen Gadol. Okay, in any case, and a person who does not, Shmuel Hanavi said to the people, right, when they asked for a king, and he chastised them, gave them tochacha, they did the wrong thing, and they've been terrible people or whatever, and he showed them that there was a rainstorm in the middle of the harvest after Nisan, which was a simon klala, was a curse. So the people said, okay, we admit we did something wrong, pray for us. So Shmuel said, of course I'll pray for you. Chas v'shalom, I shouldn't sin and not pray for you. So we see from there that somebody who can pray for somebody else, and he doesn't, is considered a sinner. And not only that, what's it called? We find that David HaMelech, right, was mispalel for all people, for all the different things that happened to them, were sick or whatever, and that's what it says in Tehillim. V'ani b'chalosam levushi sak. When they were sick, I put on sackcloth. Anisi b'tzol nafshi, I fasted. B'tfilasi al cheki toshuv, and I daven for people who were sick. I daven for people who needed. That was the Tehillim. David HaMelech composed Tehillim. People should daven, not only for themselves, but for other people too. And that's why it says, what's it called? So we see that a person has to daven for other people, and if he davens for other people, then he gets the benefit too. So if you want to get favor from God, daven for other people. That's how the Rabbeinu Bachya learns that sentence. The Marpe Loshen says the same idea. Since God's will is to do good for everyone, if you pray for other people, you are emulating God. The Bina Le'itim says that this is one of the intrinsic qualities of the Jewish people, that we care for each other. Deep down, all Jews care for other Jews, right? And not only that, we should daven even for people who are not doing what's right. Because we see by Shmuel, the people did something wrong. They asked for a king. Shmuel castigated them. And still he said, I'm going to pray for you. So even people who are doing wrong things, right, you should daven for it. Not only that, Avraham Avinu davened for the people of Sodom, even though they were wicked. And Rav Aaron Cutler adds even more. The people of Sodom represented the antithesis of Avraham Avinu. Because Avraham Avinu's midah was chesed, and they were the antithesis of chesed. They were people who wouldn't do a favor for anybody. They were upset that somebody gave salt to a guest. So Avraham Avinu, you could think that he would be disgusted with these people. They represented the antithesis of what he stood for. Yet he also davened for them, in the hope that maybe they would do tshuva. Didn't daven for them as wicked people. He davened them as wicked people who have potential, maybe, to change. And we find also Avraham Avinu davened for Avimelech, even though he did him bad. Took his wife, wrongly. He still davened for him. So we see the extent that a person should daven for other people, not only if you know them and they're friendly with them, even if you don't know them at all, even if you know them and they're terrible people, even if they hurt you, still daven for them. Let me just finish this idea and then I'll take a question. The Gemara in Shabbos 67a says that a Metzora has to go around declaring, Tomei, Tomei, I'm Tomei. So some say it's that people should stay away from him. He should announce that people should stay away from him. They shouldn't become tummy. But the Gemara says no, there's a reason. Because he should let people know that he has tzoras, he's a metzora, and they should daven for him. And any time a person has tzoras, it's good to let people know that other people should daven for you. It's a positive thing that other people should daven for you, so you shouldn't hide the fact. It says somebody had a tree that didn't bear fruit. He used to put something on it that people would know, this is a tree that doesn't bear fruit. And they would pray for it. The Be'er Moshe says, and even though the Metzora caused his tzaras, you get tzaras when you're a sinner. So people, why should I pray for you? You caused it. You're a sinner. Why should I pray for you? No. Still, the Gemara says, people should pray for him. Even though he caused it on himself, even though he's a sinner, still, be concerned about him. You would want somebody to be concerned about you if you caused things on yourself. Okay, and that's why the Rabbeinu Yonah says in Pirkei Avos, very interesting Rabbeinu Yonah, it says, Have mispalel b'shloma shel malchus, shel moli moroa ish es re'eyu chayim below. Daven for the welfare of the government, no matter what government. They were talking about the Roman government, okay? The Roman government wasn't like the, nicest government to the Jewish people. But still, daven for the Roman government. Why? Any government. Because if there's no government, there's anarchy. And people swallow each other up alive. Better the worst government than no government at all, than hefkeres, than anarchy. So we normally learn that to mean that's because Jews will suffer. Because if there's no government, the first ones to be swallowed up will be the Jews. So daven for the welfare of the government because we're going to suffer otherwise. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, no, it's not talking about davening for the government where Jews live. That also. But even davening for the governments in Biafra, in Rwanda, right, where there's not one Jew at all, okay? Even though now the Tutsi rolls have an OU, maybe the Tutsis have something to do with Judaism too, but in any case, I kind of doubt it, right? What difference does it make to a Jew if the Tutsis and the Hutsis are massacring each other? There's not one Jew that's going to be affected over there. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, even there, daven, that there should be peace amongst people who have no connection bichlal to Jews, and it won't affect any Jew bichlal. Even though it's hard to imagine anything in this world that won't affect Jews. Right? The places where they never saw a Jew, still things are affected by Jews. In any case. Rabbeinu Yonah says, even if for argument's sake, it'll have absolutely no effect on a Jew, it is the nature of a righteous person to be concerned about the welfare of all human beings. And therefore, it's his nature to daven that people should be at peace, even if it had no effect on him and no effect on Jews altogether. and the there Moshe brings a Zohar that someone, who doesn't daven for someone else is also in a way transgressing the prohibition of Losamar al Damriyecha. Don't stand by idly when somebody's in danger. And the Gemara says in Nedarim that one of the principal parts of visiting a sick person, there's a few different mitzvahs in visiting the sick. One of them is to take care of his needs, right? To see that he needs to give medicine, he needs whatever. And don't think that because people are in hospitals that their needs are being taken care of. Because sometimes, especially if they don't have family, the doctors and nurses take care of people that they know people are watching, and they don't take care so much of people that nobody's watching. So visiting somebody who doesn't have necessarily family members, especially here sometimes people's family members are in chutz laretz, there's nobody coming in. If they see somebody's there visiting, they take more notice of making sure this person's needs are taken care of. So even today, even where people's needs are taken care of in hospitals, you can visit and make sure the person's taken care of better. Second thing included in Bikur Cholim is giving the person encouragement. Speaking to him, right? Giving him the feeling that people care. And that perks up a person, and psychologically, right? How you feel psychologically helps how you feel physically too. That's a medical fact. So that's the second idea. And the third idea is davening for him. And you have to come to see him for two reasons. One is you should see that he's not so bad off that you'll give up hope and not daven. Or you won't daven real kavana because you think it's too late. Or you'll see that the person is sick, right? You know, you'll see the real situation. It's not that bad, but it's bad. So you'll daven, but you won't give up hope. So that's why you try to visit in a time where the illness is at its norm. Not where it's sometimes an illness in the morning is as its worst time, and the evening it goes away a little bit. So you shouldn't come in the evening because then you'll see the person looks well. You won't daven so much. You shouldn't come in the morning because then it's the worst. You'll give up hope. You should come when the illness is at its mean, and then you'll, what's it called, you, I may have gotten them mixed up, I don't remember what the Gemara said, but at some point it's the worst, and at some point it's the least during the day. Hold on one second. So the Rosh says that someone who comes and visits someone sick and doesn't daven for him, it's like he's a murderer. Because you could daven for that person and that will help him get well. And if you don't daven, then you're contributing to him not getting well. So you're like, it's like you're shedding his blood. And the Zohar says that since Noah didn't pray for his generation, right, even if it wouldn't have helped, but he didn't even bother to try to pray that they should be saved from the flood, so he got the big honor of having the flood named after him. And people pay a lot of money to have things named after them. Shuls, what's it called? But nobody ever paid money, right, to have a flood named after them. Okay, hurricanes get named after people, but not with last names, only with first names. Here is the flood. It was called May Noah, Noah's waters. And he got that great covet of having the flood named after him because he didn't daven for his generation. That's what the Zohar says. And therefore, some say, that's why Noah had to make up for that. Because he didn't give the world the chesed of davening for them. He had to spend a year with every animal in existence in order to do chesed to the entire world that existed, to the whole animal kingdom, and feed them daily and take care of them, right, to make up for the chesed he didn't do for the human beings before they were decimated. Okay, now I'll take questions, and because we finished the first part of this. We have one half more to go. Wesley, you're first. Yeah. Right. That's a different thing. That's not so much with tefillah, but that is Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh. God does the will of the people who fear him. So people are at a very high level, and their whole will is what God's will is. So what they want, God does, because that's God's will. Right? Right? It's possible. It's possible there are people on that level who are totally devoted to God, and they are totally God's servants, and God does their will. Because their will, basically, is what he wants to be done in the world. So they have that tremendous power, not only of prayer, they have a tremendous power that what they want, God makes his will. Makes, what's it called, makes it his will.
And we ask that Yehirat Son Lefanecha, may it be your will. Yeah. Right. Because they can hate their wickedness. But that's not what the Ram means. The Gemara says clearly, when it says to hate the wicked, either it means to hate their wickedness, and since, and if you try to give them musar, and they didn't accept it, and they're harming other people, then there's no hope, and you can even destroy wicked people, because they're destroying the world. But up until the point that you have tried to change them, up to the point that they're harming other people, right, you should try to get them to do tshuva and not to try to destroy them. That was the argument between Reb Meir and his wife Bruria. Reb Meir had some thugs in his neighborhood, wicked people who bothered him tremendously, and every day daven they should die. And Bruria said, it doesn't say yitamu chotim min haaretz, the sinners should be taken away. The sins, yitamu chatoyim, the sins should be taken away. Why don't you daven they do tshuva? It'll accomplish the same thing. They won't be any more wicked people here bothering you. They won't be wicked, but they'll still be. So Reb Meir took the cue, and he davened, and they did tshuva. But that is with limitations. That's only where it's possible to separate the wickedness from the wicked person. Then the main thing is to hate the wickedness, not the person, to always hope that there's a chance, and there's hope for everybody. But if the person, what? When do you say die? Literally, right? Right. I understand, but it's the other way too. So we have a brach in Shmoneh Esrei, V'almashin malti hitikva v'chol arusha karega toveid v'chol eidecha mehir. It doesn't sound like over there we're asking to tshuva, right? We're trying to destroy them, right, utterly. So the Sfarim say that this is talking about people who are harming the world, right, in a serious way, terrorists, murderers, robbers, people who harm society. There's no hope that they will repent, and if you daven till they repent, they'll kill more people or harm other people. Those kind of people, you already can daven, they should die. So wicked people who are harming society, and there's little chance that they will repent, or that you can even get them to repent, those kind of people. And some say that goyim fit into that. Now, maybe not all goyim, but Jews, you should try the first way first. If it doesn't work, then even Jews, if they're harming society, they are hardened criminals, you can hate them and hope that they die. For Goyim, many prayers... Right. Many prayers are for the general welfare of the whole world. Okay? Some prayers are specifically for Jews. The basic idea is, a person should pray for all the world. Okay, and we pray for them. In Rosh Hashanah, we pray, Mikol Ha'olam Kulo. Wherever it doesn't say specifically Israel, it means for the general welfare of all human beings. Right, that was on Sukkot, but the Korbanot, even every day, help the nations of the world too. But you're asking, why does a person know specifically? It should be somewhere which says something like that. Have to think about it. There are places in the Siddur where specifically it doesn't mention Klal Yisrael and it applies to the whole world. The reason that we daven for Jews, right, predominantly, is because you have a responsibility to daven for your family before you daven for strangers, right? So predominantly people should daven for their families. Goyim will daven for Goyim, and Yidden, but where it doesn't affect, you know, davening less for a Jew because you're davening for the Goy, then we daven for everybody. I hear. Right. People should be aware of that when they daven. Right. It should be somewhere that it's clear that you're doing that. Okay, I have to look in and see if there is such a thing. Yeah. Let's go to part two. So till now we discussed, because they came to heal him. The doctor shouldn't come when the person has a mean. He should come when the guy is suffering. They were the healers. Okay. Second part. That is, from that Gemara that we started off with, we see that there is a positive thing to daven for other people, but there's a benefit. That's what I speak about now. The benefit is, if you daven for somebody else and you need the same thing, you're going to be answered first. So now it comes out that really you're not daven for the guy, right? I need a shidduch. Okay? And my friend needs a shidduch. So if I daven for myself, who's going to be answered? I'll daven for him, and then I'll be answered first. So what am I really thinking of me? I'm only davening for him because I know that if I daven for him, I'll be answered first. So that's that was your question, yeah? And that is definitely not l'shem shamayim. Right? I'm doing it that I should be answered first. I'm not daven for him. I'm really daven for me, but I know that the best way to do that. So let me tell you some of the things that they say. First of all, they say like this. First of all, the Yalzu Hasidim, I don't know who that is, but it's, I saw that brought down in that name, says that this applies, okay, the Yalzu Hasidim says that this applies even if I don't need that thing right now. Okay? Let's give the example I gave. I'm just bar mitzvah, and I have, what's it called, an older brother who needs a shidduch. So I'm davening for my older brother that he should get a shidduch. Right now, I'm only 13 years old, I'm not going to get no shidduchim. So I'm not going to be answered first. Later on, when I need a shidduch, the fact that I davened for my brother 7 years earlier is going to now make it that I should be answered also. So the benefit is not only immediate. It's stored away for when you'll need that same thing. A person davened somebody else, he's not sick. And later on he gets sick. The fact that you davened for somebody else sick then will stay in your stead now. Even though at the point that you davened, you didn't need it. That's one thing. The Maharal says another phenomenal thing of why davening for somebody else and getting the benefit from that is even greater than davening for yourself. He says when a person has a tzara, let's say a person's sick, and he davens he should get well. So usually, the fact that you had a Yeshua, you had a salvation, subtracts from your merit. Okay? Something is taken off. There's no free lunches. You got a benefit, somebody had to pay for it. So it comes off your merit. Okay, you ate up some of your merits by having that. But if you daven for somebody else, and because of that, you're healed, it doesn't take off any of your merit. So not only are you answered first, but you're answered in a way that is more beneficial than had you daven directly for yourself. Because if you daven directly for yourself, you would have to eat up some of your credit. Here, no credit is taken off. Okay. The Be'er Mayim Chaim says that, how does this work? And why is it the person is answered first? How does it work? So he says like this, when a person davens, his upper neshama, right, his higher neshama connects in to God's influence, okay? And that then connects in to his lower neshama. And from him, the influence then goes to the rest of the world, to the people who need it. So he's like the conduit. He's like the pipeline. So he connects in up there, whether the Yeshua comes through him as a pipeline, and then filters off to the ones who need it. So where does it stop first? By him. So Mela, if he needs it, he benefits from it. He benefits from that influence that he brought into the world. That's how he learns it. The Ein Eliyahu says that the fact that a person feels the pain of someone else. It's not just you daven for somebody else. So that'll answer your question. It's not just that, you know, I'm davening for somebody else and I have, ulterior motives behind it. That's not going to work. Davening for somebody else means, one of the Mefarshim says, HaMispal Bal Chaveiro, V'hu Tzarech Lo'osel Dover, doesn't mean he needs the same thing, like we explained, right? Doesn't mean he needs a shidduch, I need a shidduch. But his needing a shidduch is to me like I need it. I may need a shidduch, but that's not what I'm thinking about when I daven for him. I'm davening for him and I'm empathizing. I'm identifying with his need as if it's my need. So a person who davens like that and totally identifies with the need of the other person, forgets about his own needs, and identifies that it hurts me as much as it hurts him, then he's answered first. So it has to be that you're not thinking about yourself, you're thinking about him totally, but you're feeling what he feels. That's already a tremendous madriga. And Rabbi Chesko Sarna says that when you daven for somebody else, it has to be with the same kavan as if you've been davening for yourself, and totally altruistic, where you're not thinking about yourself at all. You're totally identifying with the other person as if his tzara is your tzara. If you do that, then you're answered first. But if you do it as a trick, right, and you're thinking about yourself, then it doesn't work. The Rabbi Bunim Mipeshischa says the following. He says that even it applies to even a much more serious situation. And he brings the proof that that's exactly what happened with Avraham Avinu, where we learn it from. I daven for somebody else, and I need the same thing, doesn't mean, as we explain, that I need a shidduch, he needs a shidduch. It's not that it means. What it means is the following. The other person is my roommate. I'll give you an example. The guy's my roommate, and he shares my rent, right, and he gives me company, right? Now, if I daven that he should get married, I'm going to be off tzoris. I'm going to be missing a roommate. Half the rent's not going to be paid anymore. And the guy has a wife now, and he's probably not going to have too much connect with me. So I would benefit from him not finding a shidduch. The longer he doesn't find a shidduch, I'm going to benefit, and I'm going to keep a roommate. But I daven for him, even though I need the thing that I'm davening for him. Not that I need what he needs. I need him not to have what I'm davening for. Okay? I need also davar that I'm davening for him, even though I need that he shouldn't get what I'm davening for. I'll benefit. Where do we see that? By Avram. Avram Avinu would have benefited had Avimelech not had any more children. Why? Because people said, oh, so many years, Sarah's with Avram, never gets pregnant. All of a sudden, one night, she's with Avimelech, she's pregnant. Obviously, it's from Avimelech. So Avram Avinu would have benefited tremendously if Avimelech never had any more children. Then people would say, you see, Avimelech had his own children. See, he's obviously not the cause of Sarah being pregnant. But Avram still davened for Avimelech to have children, even though it was to his detriment. Yeah, fine. But Avram didn't know that at the time. Right? So he davened for something that he needed the situation before the davening, and davening was detrimental to him if the other person got what he wanted. Still, you daven for somebody else. If you do that, then you're answered first. Okay? The Beis Elokim says, similar idea, that davening can be for two reasons. One is I daven because I need something. The other is I daven because I realize that I'm dependent on God, and I want to show God that I recognize my dependency on Him. When you daven for your own needs, so there's always a chance that you're doing it not so much for God, you're doing it for you. But when you daven for somebody else's needs, right, then the davening can be much more altruistic. I'm really davening for the sake of davening, because I'm not getting anything out of this personally. Right? Somebody else is getting something out of it personally. Okay. Another idea, which we have explained in the past, and I'm not going to go into great detail about it, why I have a very logical way of explaining why a person who davens for somebody else is answered first. Okay? But it depends on understanding how you can daven for somebody else altogether. We've explained in the past, and I'm going to do this just concisely without getting into a lot of details. We've asked the question in the past, how does davening help altogether? I mean, how do you change God's mind? Everything God does is for the good. So why would God want to change his mind if his intention was good? A person's sick. God doesn't make people sick because he's bad or because he wants them to suffer. He makes them sick because in the long run, that is what's best for them. Because they need a kapara, they need a nisayon, they need something that in light of their eternal status, right, this is what they need in this world. They need to be sick. Whatever the reason is. Okay? We don't know the reason. Right? One reason could be it's a kapara. They did something wrong, they need a kapara, they need to be sick. Okay? Or it's to give them more reward in the world to come. Whatever it is, an assayan that they should be able to overcome it, right, the illness and grow from it, whatever. It could be a million reasons. It's not always because somebody did something wrong and they're getting punished. There's a million reasons why things happen. But they're all for the good. Gamzu the tov. So somebody's in the hospital, okay, and they're sick. And the doctor determines they need an operation, which is very painful. But he says if the person gets the operation, he'll live another 50 happy, healthy years. If he doesn't get the operation, he's going to die in 2 hours, for sure. Now, the operation is painful, but the pain is for the good. So if the person says, please, doctor, don't give me the operation, I don't like pain, right, are you going to listen to the person? Even if he nags you, if you're a doctor, of course not. Because you know that the operation will benefit this person 50 happy, healthy years. So you won't be affected by the guy's pleading, right? He doesn't understand. Later on, 20 years from now, after he's recuperated, right, 100 times over, he'll appreciate that you did him a favor and you let him live another 50 years. So why does God listen to our prayers? Come to God and you say, God, I'm sick, please heal me. Why doesn't God turn around and say, look, I know you're sick, I made you sick. Nothing happens in this world that I'm not involved in, right? I made you sick, and I made you sick for a good reason. It's the best thing that could be for you. So don't check on me, right, and tell me to take away the sickness. I know it's for your good. You don't understand that. So you, what's it called? You're crying to me. But it's for your good. Why should God ever consider changing his mind if he intended to do something? If suffering serves a purpose, just like the pain of the operation serves a purpose. And here you're guaranteed that something of that suffering... No. Here it's also. The suffering is like an operation. There's something wrong with the person spiritually. That's one possibility. And that's, I can't go into all the possibilities, right? I don't know. If I would know all the possibilities, I'd be God. But let's take one possibility. It's not the only possibility. Person did something wrong. He needs kapara. If he doesn't get that kapara, his neshama is going to suffer eternally. So one of the ways of getting that kapara is suffering in this world. So the suffering is like an operation. It will cure your neshama for the future. But you have to suffer. So the suffering is mamish like the operation. It's exactly the same thing. So we don't see it. But God determined that that's what this person needs. Because he put himself in this situation. Hold on. So what's the answer? The answer is the following. The analogy isn't exact. Doesn't fit. The analogy would be the following. The doctor examines the patient, and he sees that according to his condition, he needs an operation. But if the patient would be a little bit stronger, then they wouldn't need the operation to give him the 50 happy, healthy years. He could get by with bitter medicine. But his body isn't strong enough to integrate the medicine, he needs the operation. But if he'd be a little bit stronger, he would be able to get by with bitter medicine, would do the same thing. If he could be even stronger, he could get by with sweet medicine. Now, an hour later, the doctor comes back, he re-examines the patient, and the guy has exercised a little bit in the time, and his body's a little bit stronger. The condition has changed. Now the doctor says, okay, we're not giving him the operation, we're only giving him the bitter medicine. An hour later, he comes back, re-examines him, we'll give him the sweet medicine. Why? Did the doctor change his mind? No. The condition changed. The person's condition changed. What was good under these conditions is not good anymore. You don't need the operation anymore. Now you need the bitter medicine. Under different conditions, you need a sweet medicine. When a person davens, he's not davening to change God's mind. Davening changes the person. It's like spiritual exercise. When you daven, there's a change. Sometimes more, sometimes less. It's not a, you know, cause and effect. Daven, you get better. We know that it doesn't work like that. Sometimes you don't get better. Because maybe you didn't daven enough. Or maybe that wasn't the change that was necessary. Maybe there's other reasons why you have to be sick. But in any case, the davening makes a change amongst other changes that can affect the person's condition, change his condition, and the mela, what he has to have, which for his good, changes. Under one condition, this is for your good, a different condition, a different thing is good. So davening is reflexive. Lehis paleo is his poel. It goes back on the person. You change. You're not changing God's mind. You're not nagging God to change his mind. By davening, you effect a change in you. And maybe that change can be enough to change the situation. Now you don't need that the sickness anymore. You don't need the poverty anymore, whatever it may be. Maybe you do. But it's possible you won't. Then the only problem is, so how do you daven for somebody else? If davening doesn't change God's mind, it changes your condition, you can daven for yourself. How do you daven for somebody else? So one answer is that... all Jews are interrelated. So if I change, there's a change in somebody else too, because we're all interrelated. It's like one of my children, when he was a kid, now he's a father of five of his own children, but when he was a little kid, he couldn't take pills. He gagged on them, and if we gave him medicine, we had to either chop it up and put it in a cereal, or give him only the liquid variety. Okay, Liquiprin instead of aspirin or whatever. So once he had an infection on his toe, and the doctor said that the only antibiotic that is effective against this specific infection has to be taken in solid form. You can't dilute it, and there's no liquid form. So he's going to have to take the pill. So my wife and myself told him, look, you know, until now we've tried to accommodate you, but this is it. You're going to have to take this pill. So if I have to sit on you and your mother will throw it down your throat, that's what's going to have to happen. So he said, he's about 5 years old, he said, Tati, this is ridiculous. My toe is infected. What do you want with my mouth? Put the pill on my toe. It's no problem. I don't have any problem with that. Why do you have to choke me, right, if my mouth is fine? Good question for a five-year-old. What's the answer? It's not your mouth and your toe. It's your system. And what goes into your mouth goes into your digestive system, gets absorbed into your blood system, and eventually gets to the toe. So a change in any part of the system affects a change in the whole system. More than that, there's another idea. And that is, everybody is affected by everybody else. And nobody can be punished or rewarded or something happened to them without it affecting somebody else. And if they don't deserve to be affected, then something has to change in the whole thing. In other words, if I'm affected because you're sick, and I don't need to be affected by your sickness, then maybe you shouldn't be sick because it's affecting me wrongly. So the fact that I change may make it that you shouldn't be sick because I'm affected by your sickness, and now I don't deserve to be affected. I changed. So my change affects a change in the whole system one way or the other. But for sure, the effect that it has in me is greater than the indirect effect it has in you. So if I pray for you, and my prayer makes enough of a change that you can be affected, it surely makes enough of a change in me that I can be affected. So therefore, a person who davens for someone else and needs the same thing, he's answered first. Because the change he affects in himself is much stronger than the indirect change he affects in somebody else through his prayer. And that's why logically, works like that. And therefore, the Chassam Sofer says that whoever feels more the need of the other person, right? So then there's that connection between them, then his prayer is more effective for the other person. The less you feel the need of the other person, the less you can affect a change in him. Explain to you that tefillah. Okay. The simple meaning is, we'll get to this simple, I'll tell you a nice shot from the Chafetz Chaim. Va'ani stilasi means, as for me, va'ani, my prayer, right, to you, l'cho Hashem, eis ratzon, in a time of favor, right, I hope, God, that my prayer to you is in a time when you are predisposed to answer it and are favorable to me, right, va'ani stilasi l'cho Hashem eis ratzon, Elohim barov chazdecho, and therefore I ask, God, even if you are Elohim, I am fit to be punished, because Elohim is midas hadin, right? That's God's power of justice and judgment, right? Elohim barov chazdecho, but you have tremendous chesed and kindness. Aneini be'emes yishecho, please answer me and save me, right? But the emes yishecho with the truth of your salvation. In other words, even if I deserve to be punished, I'm hoping that Rabbanu Shalom, that you will find a way, what? Right, no, I'm hoping that even if I deserve to be punished, God will find a way of bringing that truth. In other words, there's justice in the world. And a person who needs to be punished, needs to be punished. That's part of the way the world is, and it's for his ultimate good. Because if you punish in this world, you won't have to be punished in the next world. So the truth of the matter is, there's a world here that has reward and punishment and good and bad, and that's the truth. But we're hoping that when things are favorable and I dive into God, I'll change the situation enough that the truth can be achieved and I still get my salvation. I don't want you, God, to overlook what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's false. But I hope that the truth can be accomplished in a way that that I will be saved. Yeah, fine, but I would rather, right, that the good come in a way that I can appreciate it, not just in a way that I believe that it's for the good, but I see it as bad. I would rather see it as good too. So I'm hoping that the Chafetz Chaim says, Va'anis tilasi means the following. There are certain prayers that you don't have to say, but they are intrinsic, meaning the following. He gives the following marshal. He says, if you have a person who represents an institution, so he's dressed in a nice suit, and he has his little attaché case, he gets out of a late model car, knocks on your door, right, and you invite him in, you say, what can I do for you? He takes out his attaché case, takes out a prospectus of his institution, and he explains to you what he represents and what he wants. On the other hand, if you hear a knock at the door, and there's this guy dressed in rags, who's white as a sheet, right, groveling, right, and breathing heavy, right, with his tongue hanging out, you don't say, excuse me, sir, what can I do for you, right? And he takes out a prospectus on hunger, right, and starts to show you of the food that he wants or whatever. You don't need to hear a word from him. Just look at him, and you can see what he needs. David HaMelech says to God, Va'anisti lasi. Rabboni Shlom, I don't have to open my mouth and tell you a thing. I myself represent what I need. Look at me, right? Sometimes the tefillah, what a person wants, he doesn't have to enunciate. You see from the way he lives. Person who wants, what's it called? His children. Person wants his children to grow up to be familiar. He doesn't have to say it. You know how you can see it? How much does he spend on the tuition? What kind of schools does he send them to? What's the main, his main concern? How does he live? How does he deal with his children? He could say from today to tomorrow, oh, I want my children to be talmidei chachamim, but he doesn't want to pay tuition, he doesn't want to send them to a yeshiva, he doesn't want to send them anything, right? So you want, but you really don't want, because the way you're dealing with them, you show you don't want. On the other hand, you don't have to say a word and daven anything if you show, right, through the way you act, that that's what you want for your children. So that's v'anis filasi. I am my prayer. What, how I act, how I deal, how I think, that's, you can see what I want. You can see what my prayer is. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says. Right, it's the same idea we said. The same idea is that a person who davens, okay, who needs something himself, right, causes a bigger change in himself than somebody else can cause in him. So that's why a person who actually needs a thing, it's better for him to daven for himself than get other people daven for him. But for the person who davens for somebody else, they're fulfilling a mitzvah of davening to the person, and they're benefiting because they're davening. The one who davens always benefits more than the one who's davened for. Right? Exactly. Each one will daven for the other one. Okay. Okay, that solves my problem. What do we do with the rest of the shiur? We say good night. Okay.